Hi there, and a very warm welcome to Season 5, Episode 49 of People Soup. It's Ross McIntosh here.
The messaging and looking at this stuff, the main question I get from people is, what about health? And over the years, weight has been increasingly tied to health. And for some people, that can kind of be a point of like justifying a comment that they might make. So they might make a comment on someone's body and be like, well, I'm just concerned about their health. Or even towards ourselves, we might make a body-related comment, or I need to do something because it's about my health. And it gets really, really closely tied to weight. And I think it's important to remember that weight and health can be two separate things. So you can do health-related behaviors. You can experience really big shifts in your health and notice those body changes, and it not necessarily change anything on the scale. So teasing apart weight and health.
Pea Soupers, I'm continuing my chat with Dr. Sarah Pegram this week. Sarah is a clinical psychologist, peer-reviewed ACT trainer, curator of the ACT Body Project, and author of the book, Break the Binds of Weight Stigma, Free Yourself from Body Image Struggles Using Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. In this episode, we dive into the book, starting with my review and moving on to reflect on how weight stigma might show up in the workplace and what we can do about it. Sarah's book and her reflections are so powerful, provocative, and eye-opening. Now, Pea Soupers, at times the sound quality isn't perfect. Sometimes it feels a bit tidal. So I've tried every which way to enhance the recording for your listening pleasure, including a sound engineer. So, just a reminder that there is a transcript if you don't catch every word. I don't want you to miss out on Sarah's inspirational reflections. For those of you who are new to People Soup, hi, hola, welcome to the community. For those who are more familiar, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. We're an award-winning podcast where we share evidence-based behavioural science in a way that's practical, accessible, and fun. Our mission is to unlock workplace potential with expert perspectives from contextual behavioural science. Let's just scoot over to the news desk because reviews are in for our last episode, which was the first part of my chat with Sarah Pegram. On LinkedIn, Dr. Sarah Cassidy said, "Lovely stuff, Ross and Sarah. Very hard to be brave enough to be our authentic selves, isn't it? I think it's a universal struggle." And Sarah Cassidy went on to say, "I definitely feel like a lot of what you are talking about here and going on the journeys of courage are probably way more common to so many people than we are even aware of. Wonderful work. Bravo for sharing with the rest of us." And I absolutely echo Sarah Cassidy's words there. Sarah Pegram is so open, authentic, and vulnerable. She's a great role model for us all. Now, Pea Soupers, you might have heard that the bookmarks have landed. Each review that's read out on the show will receive a couple of our freshly designed bookmarks, dispatched by my dad in the Global Distribution Centre in the Northeast Powerhouse. What more of an incentive do you need to write a review? The first bookmarks are on their way. So please do keep reviewing, rating, sharing, and talking about the podcast. You will help more people find us and all that useful People Soup stuff. My ACT in the Workplace Train the Trainer program is rapidly approaching at the end of April. If you'd like to bring evidence-based training to the organizations you work with to support well-being and psychological flexibility, then look no further. Details are in the show notes, including the discount code. For now, get a brew on and have a listen to part two of my chat with the wonderful Sarah Pegram. So, Sarah, I'm going to say the title again because I want to get this right.
Yep.
Your book is called Break the Binds of Weight Stigma, Free Yourself from Body Image Struggles Using Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. And what I'd love to do is start with my review.
Ooh, can feel the anxiety come in.
And Pea Soupers, Sarah hasn't heard this review yet. Let's crack on. This is a fascinating book. It blends evidence, including lived experience, deep expertise from the author, and the practical application of behavioural science to take the reader on a fascinating and thought-provoking journey. Sarah has created a captivating book built around the metaphor of a forest. The dense forest is a powerful way to represent our body image, and how we can get tangled up and snagged in the branches, trunks and foliage, which can then impact how we show up in the world. As our skilled guide, Sarah helps us to illuminate our forest, guiding us through it and providing reflective exercises at each stage, increasing our understanding and supporting us to take practical action with each chapter. It finishes with an essential section where she considers how we can support each other, particularly young people, and change the dialogue at the industry level, whether that's the diet industry, fashion, fitness, or social media. Bravo, Sarah. A comprehensive and thoughtful guide. Your expertise shines through every page. Thank you.
Thank you. That's so nice, so kind.
It was truly revelatory for me, getting me to think about that forest. I love the metaphor of the forest, in case you didn't realise. But getting me to think about how it's so pervasive as we grow up, the references, the jibes, the little comments about bodies and weight. It's truly astounding to have that all put down at the beginning.
Yeah, it's I find it, and I find in working with other people, it can be quite eye-opening. Like, we know there's a lot of conversation about body, but when you really break it down and go, let's look over the course of your life, all the different places where you may have received comments about appearance and body, and when you look at just how much there is, of course people have struggles with body image. Of course this stuff comes up. It's not that our bodies are broken or we're broken. When you look how all-encompassing it is, it's hard not to have these struggles. And I find in looking at it in that way, it's a lot easier to turn towards those struggles in a compassionate way. And I know I found that even in my own journey, is looking at my own body image, is when I stepped back and said, hey, this is more of a product of the environment, the context that you live in. You're not broken, you're not bad, you're not being superficial, you're not being vain, you're not being shallow. This is the world you live in. Of course you're going to have these struggles. And it helped me turn towards my experiences and helped me create change.
Which you've certainly achieved. When did you realise that this was the book you were going to write?
That's a good question. I think I was wanting to write a book for a long time. I was a little bit burned in the dissertation writing process, just burnt out, but also along that pathway, I got told I'm not an academic writer. And so that my mind then translated that into, you're not a writer. And so I got in my own way for a bit. And I'll own that comment of, I'm not an academic writer. That is not an academic book. I'm a storyteller. So I got out of my own way for that. But in terms of writing this book, I think the point where I'm like, this is a book I want to write, was I'd been exposed to body image in the eating disorder world for a number of years, and I got a little bit too good at compartmentalizing. And I was having conversations with people outside of the eating disorder world, and this was more just with people I knew outside of work, and we stumbled on the topic of body image. And many of the people that I was talking to were talking about how they didn't do something or held back because of how they felt about their body. And I started getting curious about that. And the little researcher in me was like, I want to find out more about this. And I did like a little survey monkey thing. A little survey, and it came back that over 70% of people that I in that survey had held back or not done something because of how they felt about their body. And it was just shattering for me of like, this is not just a clinical thing. This is an everyone thing. And even if that percentage isn't as high as 70%, there's still a lot of people out there who aren't doing things or holding back because of how they feel about their body. And that's a loss to them, but also to the world around them. So I was really moved by just how big of an issue it was. And that was kind of the start of, I need to do something. I want to do something to help people so they don't feel like they have to hold back.
Mm. I love it when you say, this isn't a clinical thing, it's an everyone thing. And I absolutely agree. Because I guess pea soupers might be out there thinking, hang on, weight stigma, body image, what's this got to do with work? Well, it's got everything to do with work. Let's try and give them a few examples. So I would say returning to work after the pandemic. I know a lot of people, bodies change shape over the pandemic. Maybe they found their clothes no longer fitted. Going for a promotion, going for a new job in a new organization where you have to be seen by a whole new group of people. I'm sure there are many more examples, but...
Yeah, they're really good examples that I did see, and I had a lot of conversations with people around the time of return to work from the pandemic of, you know, people saying, like, I'm worried of what's going to happen when I return to work. My body has changed. Are people going to comment? Are they going to notice? And then it would almost be like a beating themselves up of, I shouldn't be worried about that. So they're kind of shutting it down. You know, but I was hoping like that the clinical space was a space that people could bring it and be like, I don't feel comfortable bringing it with my friends because I feel like I'm being, you know, superficial or shallow, but I want to bring it here because it is creating a lot of anxiety. So it definitely came up in the pandemic times and returning to work. Other times when it might come up is if there's presentations or anything where having to be visible. Oh, I want to do the presentation, or you know, I trust my capacity and my skill and knowledge level, but the idea of getting up in front of other people and having other people see me and judge me and notice how I look, that brings up, you know, a lot of thoughts and feelings. And people respond to those thoughts and feelings in a number of different ways. So some people might be like, I need to change my body. So once I change my body, once I lose a little bit of weight, then I'll do that. Or they'll just, you know, go into more of the hiding of, I can't do that because.
Yeah, great one of presentations. I guess particularly if you feel the weight of representing your organization or your team, there's an extra layer there. It's so powerful, and appearing on video as well as in person, the differences, anxieties you might have about that. Gosh, it is every area of life, but obviously I'm interested in the workplace. But as a little aside, I've been doing a fair bit of travelling for work, and I was feeling a bit creaky. My old bones were feeling a bit creaky. So I love cycling, so I do quite a bit of cycling. But I thought, I want to get a bit more flexible, so I joined a gym. And I notice the anxiety coming up when I walk up the stairs to the gym, when I'm on the way and thinking, who's going to be there? Which buff Spanish man is going to be there flexing his muscles and lifting these enormous weights with barely a bead of sweat on him? And how am I going to look when I don't know how the machines work even? And people will think, look at his pipe cleaner legs, things like that.
He doesn't belong here.
Yeah. So I really recognise all the instances you say, but that's just one that's uppermost in my mind at the minute. I want to look after me to go and deliver more training and support more adults in the workplace. And I notice that showing up.
It pops up in so, and the gym is one place that a lot of people feel uncomfortable. And a lot of people will say, I need to lose weight or I need to change my body even before I can feel comfortable going to the gym. So that's even just this place like the gym, people are feeling like they have to change their body even just to get in there.
Yeah. And it's when we're going back to the workplace, when we're going for an interview, we think about what we're going to wear. We'll maybe try on different outfits and feel a level of despair. I can't get that button fastened, or is this the image I'm trying to convey? What are they going to think?
A lot of people do that, you know, call it kind of like the fashion parade before they have, you know, the job interview, of trying everything on to see what kind of fits the body and what doesn't fit the body, and then noticing any changes of, oh, that used to fit me, but now it doesn't, and the spiral of thoughts that can come from that. And usually it doesn't stay at the level of the body. It's not like, okay, well, that doesn't fit, it's okay, move on to the next thing. For many people, it spirals deeper. You said you did lose weight and you didn't. You know, you're such a loser, you can't get things under control, you're failing, you're this, you're that. And it spirals into how a person might see themselves. So if you're going to a job interview and you've just had that spiral kind of go off, that makes it really, really hard to present yourself, you know, authentically and present your best self when there's a big part of you that's your mind is just racing with all of these attacks pulling you down.
Absolutely. It's so relatable how you describe it. And the way you guide us through the book is through this metaphor of the forest, as I mentioned, and you help us navigate the forest for ourselves. I love the way you do it. I love the way you break it down into smaller steps just to help us so we're not overwhelmed. How did you come up with that structure?
I think it's easy to get overwhelmed. So I think to me it was very important to come up with that structure. And you know, I've been overwhelmed. I've seen my clients get overwhelmed. So I knew it was important to break it into those piece by piece way, because it is a big thing for people. So it does need to be broken into smaller steps. So from there I move just to, okay, what are the key ACT processes? Which one would be the next one that might flow for a person? And kind of went from there. And it might flow really well for some people, and other people might move from chapter to chapter. It might not, you know, flow exactly for them in that way. But I just wanted to give those bite-sized pieces for them to work away at.
And then you talk about navigating the forest for others. And this is so important. It's what can we do in our workplace environments? How can we be with other people to make it an overused word, to make it an inclusive space?
Yeah, it's such an important piece. And it came from what I noticed in my clinic room is I'd do some really, you know, myself and my client would do some really, really good work. And they'd be really motivated and they're like, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and I'm going to do this because it's in service of my values. And they'd be all pumped up and ready to go. And like, okay, that was great. And it's really, really amazing seeing people get to that point. And so they'd leave my office, it's like, okay, off you go. And then the following week they'd come back and they'd be completely deflated. Okay, what happened? And many times it was something external to them that reinforced those old body messages. So they tried to step outside of their comfort zone and did an act in service of their values. And then something happened, some kind of weight-based message. It might have been a criticism or teasing or an ostracism happened that just flattens them. So it made me think of, yeah, we can do some great stuff behind, you know, the therapy doors. And individually, people can be reading these kinds of books and doing some great stuff. And the world around us needs to change, because otherwise we'll just keep encountering the same struggle over and over and over again. So the book speaks of not only creating change for ourselves, but also looking at what changes can we make in the world around us so that other people don't have to feel the way that we might be feeling. And when I look at my own journey and some of the things that we talked about, being seen and being seen for who I am, not how I look, and treated in that way was powerful for me. So thinking about how can we create that for other people? How can we support people and connect at that more value-based level of who they are as opposed to how they look?
I'm so pleased this was a section in the book, because I think it's so important to think what the steps that those around a person could take, or to help them ask for support, or to help them call out someone who's maybe making a passing remark that has a reference that takes them back to a place where they were 2 weeks ago, and maybe takes them right back into their comfort zone and disappearing. Any standout tips for someone in the workplace who wants to become more supportive or self-aware?
In the workplace, we spend so much time in the workplace, so it's really important that change happens there. And one thing I have noticed in certain workplaces that I've been in is there's often a lot of weight-based comments. So it might be someone loses weight and everyone's celebrating that, or someone gains weight and there's kind of a, ooh. I've even been in workplaces where they've had like the biggest loser sort of contests happening, so which makes me just cringe. So even at that level of let's not have these conversations about weight. If we're going to compliment someone, there's other things we can compliment them on as opposed to their body. Each person that you're surrounded by are showing up. They're bringing themselves into work. So how can we connect with that? So even stepping away from those kinds of weight-based conversations can be really helpful. Or if you do see some weight-based kind of conversations happening that could hurt someone, you know, standing up and speaking out against it, or if it's not the place to do that, because sometimes it's not safe to do that, even being able to go to the person who may have been hurt by it and let them know that, you know, that you're there for them.
That's a powerful one, I think, being an ally. We often hear the word ally, in my experience, quite often spoken about the LGBTQ plus community. Being an ally, and people will proudly wear a rainbow lanyard for their building pass. And I think it's so pervasive, the comments and the even what some people might call microaggressions around weight. Those throwaway comments can be quite uncomfortable, quite distressing for people.
Absolutely. Like, you don't have to have the comments being made directly to you in order for them to be uncomfortable. So if someone's making, you know, if you're sitting in the lunchroom and someone's making a comment or complimenting someone on their weight loss, and then you look down at your own body, you're like, oh, you know, I've actually gained weight recently. And they're noticing and complimenting that. And all of a sudden you're snapped into being very body aware and body conscious. And that, again, can trigger off kind of that whole line of thoughts and feelings can come up from that. And they just like, they seem like throwaway comments, or, oh, I'm just paying a compliment, I'm just being nice. And even the person who's receiving the compliment, it can sometimes not land how it's intended. So if you go up to someone and be like, oh, you've lost weight, you look great. Well, what are you saying? Are you saying that I didn't look great before? Yeah, so it's the weight focus is uncomfortable and not helpful.
I'd like to think the workplace has evolved a bit, but I'm not sure it has.
I think some have and some haven't. I think it depends on the workplace, on the industry. And there's so much more to people than their appearance and their weight. Like, there's so much more that could be happening in their lives. There's so much more to who they are as a person. And it's such a shame to reduce all of that down to their size.
Yeah. So how are people responding to your approach? How are people responding to the book?
I've had a number of good responses. A lot of people say that while the book speaks to weight and body, a lot of the things that are covered in it can be applied to other areas. So a lot of the tools, they can be transferred onto other things. And I'm like, that's exactly what I was going for. A lot of people have said they have felt like I'm kind of peeked into their mind and can see exactly what they're thinking. So I was like, you know, it's very relatable, and that's what I was trying for. As far as the messaging and looking at this stuff, the main question I get from people is, what about health? And over the years, weight has been increasingly tied to health. And for some people, that can kind of be a point of like justifying a comment that they might make. So they might make a comment on someone's body and be like, well, I'm just concerned about their health. Or even towards ourselves, we might make a body-related comment, or I need to do something because it's about my health. And it gets really, really closely tied to weight. And I think it's important to remember that weight and health can be two separate things. So you can do health-related behaviours. You can experience really big shifts in your health and notice those body changes and it not necessarily change anything on the scale. So teasing apart weight and health. I'm not against people improving their health if that's something that they value. And my concern is when weight and health get too closely tied together, it can create some problems.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And in the process of writing this book and your work in general, does stuff show up for you that could get in the way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This book was quite a struggle at times. And for those reading the book, you will hear me in the book. I am bringing myself in the book. You know, I role model that vulnerability. And I think if I was just writing more of an academic style, I wouldn't have as much come up for me. But in putting myself in the book, those not good enough thoughts and fears and worries of what are people going to think, are they going to judge me, all of that come up as I was writing the book, and ever since it's kind of out into the wild, I guess, those fears are there, and they've been there all along, and I've kept going because this matters to me. People, there's such a rich complexity to people. There's so much to people. And they've got so much to give, and it's such a shame that they're not able to give, or they hold back because of how they feel about their body. So if I can help people let go of that or navigate it differently, and I can help create change in the world, I want to do that. And if that means me being vulnerable, so be it.
I think you being vulnerable is tremendously powerful, both in the way you're talking today and throughout the book. It shines through every section, every chapter, and your willingness to do that is impacting on other people. So thank you.
That's my hope, is to impact others in a good way.
And I guess as organizations, we're missing out on people in the organization. We're missing out on helping them fulfill their true potential and recognizing them for the skills and the experience and the perspectives that they have. So we need to wise up. Now, you've already given us some marvelous insights and tips. Is there any tip you'd leave the peacekeepers with, any takeaway you'd leave with them, just to reflect on maybe?
Something to reflect on is the values piece of what is important to you. And how you want to show up. Your body is going to change. So your body is your body. It's going to change over time as you get older. How do you want to show up? Regardless of what's happening with your body, how do you want to show up? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to make other people feel? And trying to connect more with that as opposed to connecting with how you look.
Peacekeepers, just popping up to repeat those last important words from Sarah. How do you want to show up? Regardless of what's happening with your body, how do you want to show up? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to make other people feel? And trying to connect more with that as opposed to connecting with how you look. And now, back to the chat. Love it. Yeah, how do you want to show up in different contexts in life? Not just work, not just home life. Yeah. It's not always easy. And in my experience, it's immensely freeing as well.
Oh, it's definitely not easy. This sounds easy, but to actually do it is another thing altogether.
Yeah, amen. So Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show and being your vulnerable self and role modelling for us all what is possible for us in life and the workplace. Really appreciate you coming on the show, and congratulations again for the book.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for listening, Peacekeepers.
That's it, Peacekeepers. The second part of my chat with Sarah in the bag. Thanks so much to Sarah for being an inspiration. And please do check out her brilliant book, Break the Binds of Weight Stigma. Now, folks, we need your help. You can support us and help us reach more people with this behavioural science. So, if you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, we'd love you to do three things. Number one, share it with one other person. Number two, subscribe and give us a 5-star review, whatever platform you're on. And number three, share the heck out of it on the socials. This would all help us reach more people and make some noise with stuff that could be useful. We love to hear from you, and you can get in touch at peoplesoup.pod@gmail.com. On X, formerly known as Twitter, we are at peoplesouppod. On the gram, known as Insta, we are at people.soup. And on Facebook, we are at peoplesouppod. You can also drop us a review or get in touch using a voice note on WhatsApp. Thanks to Andy Glenn for his spoon magic and Alex Engelberg for his vocals. Most of all, dear listener, thanks to you. Look after yourselves, Peacekeepers, and bye for now. And scene.
Thank you.
Oh, Sarah, that's phenomenal.
That felt very natural. And
Good.
You're very good at what you do. Like, listening, I'm always like listening to your voice. It makes me calm, but your style is spot on.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Sarah.